Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Marin Poitras's fascinating and illuminating documentary film, Finding the Money, follows American economist Stephanie Kelton on a journey through modern money theory, or MMT. Kelton provocatively asserts that the national debt clock that ticks ominously upward in New York City is not actually a debt for us taxpayers at all, nor a burden for our grandchildren to pay back. Instead, Kelton describes the national debt as simply a historical record of the number of dollars created by the U.S. federal government currently being held in pockets as assets by the rest of us. Really, truly illuminating documentary film. And we're joined today by the director of Finding the Money, Marin Poitras. Marin, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. I remember seeing Stephanie Kelton one time on MSNBC, and I remember her talking about debt and other things, but I didn't quite understand what she was saying. And with Finding the Money, I have a much better understanding of it now. Tell me how you got to know her.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people come at it from different angles, and my background is mostly in environmental studies and climate. So I guess that's what brought me to this story about money, because, you know, the big picture problems that we're facing, whether it's climate change or, you know, social problems with inequality, you know, they always pretty much lead you back to economics and then to this story about money, really. And, you know, kind of what's built into our economy and what can we change? And, you know, how have we created this system and how can we create it differently to maybe produce different outcomes? So it was really a circuitous path, and it took me a while. I had a lot of different stops along the way, you know, through ecological economics and different kind of alternative schools, you could say, that were bringing up certain questions. But once I finally got to this group of economists that called themselves modern money theory and Stephanie Kelton, it did all start to click and make a little more sense, and things started to fall into place. And it surprisingly, you know, makes intuitive sense when you've been told so many times, I think, economic wise, to not trust your intuition, or, you know, it's more complicated than you think it is. But really, they were saying some fairly simple things, you know, that seemed intuitively correct. So then the question is just, well, you know, is this right or not? And could I go on a journey to figure out if what these people are saying could actually have validity? And if so, you know, or if not, where do they go wrong?
I'll admit, I kept waiting kind of for that moment, you know, for somebody to puncture the, you know, the balloon here a little bit in the course of telling the story, because it's so antithetical to what we're used to hearing. It's so much about, and so much about economics is shrouded in things that we're not supposed to understand. And I don't say that people are deliberately not telling things about the economy, but that we should know. It's just that it's out of our realm of normal life. It seems esoteric, if you will, in so many ways. Which, by the way, there's a quote which I won't be able to replicate about the woman who talks about economics, why we learn economics to begin. Mm-hmm. What is that quote?
She says, "We study economics so as not to be fooled by economists." And I very much identify with that quote.
Yes, absolutely. I want to get into, broadly speaking, what MMT is, but I love the fact that you identify fairly quickly in the film that as economists who talk about the economy, you're not supposed to talk about money. Mm. I love that part of it. I love the way that you sort of introduce us into the idea of what money actually is.
Yeah, and these were definitely my big questions going into the film. You know, like you were saying, you know, do economists understand this and they just kind of don't want us to know, or they don't want to talk about it? They don't want politicians to kind of understand where money actually comes from? Or is it this kind of deeper misunderstanding or long-held misunderstanding that's somehow perpetuating through kind of myths or stories that we tell about money? You know, I think through the exploration of making the film, I keep coming back to it's a little bit of both. I feel like, you know, the importance in the film of trying to convey and dig into where these MMT economists may go wrong. You know, I talk to as many other, you know, mainstream economists as I can from across the political spectrum. But still, you know, I'm trying to understand what is that core of the conflict, because both sides are kind of saying the other is wrong. Where is the conflict? Where's the divergence there? And for me, in telling, you know, it always seemed to come back to the story we tell about money, like a very basic story of just where does money come from and what is it? That seemed to be the root of the conflict, actually. And then so much more expands on top of that. And they'll be debating, you know, these nuances, but you have to go back to kind of step one. That's actually where the divergence happens, is step one. What is money and where does it come from? And there's kind of a different story that this small group of economists is trying to tell that conflicts with, and the story that's told in textbooks or not told in textbooks. You know, I do challenge anyone to go and, you know, I went and read as many mainstream, you know, Econ 101 textbooks as I could to find where do they talk about money and where it comes from. And if I was lucky to find, you know, one paragraph maybe of, oh, you know, Adam Smith said money evolved from barter. And so, you know, it just must have been that way. We'll skip over that now, or, you know, that's done. And so, you know, they're kind of like, obviously there was barter first and obviously money is easier. So, but then in their models, you know, their complex mathematical models that economists use, like they don't actually have money and banking in those models. They're not really accounted for. So it's fascinating once you dig in and once you start talking to these economists who maybe went through, you know, used to be mainstream and went through all the stages, you know, through PhD and what have you. And even after years and years of teaching, the textbook theories have come around and said, wow, like this is wrong. And this is kind of a big deal and has a lot of implications for all of our daily lives and really the planet. So, yeah.
And thank you, because you do tie it back to the immense challenge ahead of us for dealing with climate and how we're going to do that. And I keep saying this over and over. The greatest engine for economies for the foreseeable future will be dealing with mitigating and overcoming climate and the effects it's going to have on our planet. This would be, could and is the greatest challenge, but also the greatest opportunity for financial growth and wealth, if you will, if you want to put it in those terms, that we'll ever have as human beings.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, and what's fascinating, you know, is that economists just, they're kind of obsessed with us balancing the budget, or, you know, oh, the government has to balance its budget and live within its means and all these kinds of things. And I would just love if we could shift a little bit of that rhetoric towards, you know, balancing the carbon budget and living within our, you know, our carbon budget and our means in terms of real planetary resources, because, sorry, there's a dog here. Somehow economists are able to look over kind of the scarcity of real resources or the, you know, the real problems that will come when we start hitting, you know, these ecological limits of climate change and carbon in the atmosphere. They seem to be vastly underestimating the economic consequences to our economic well-being of climate change. And yet, you know, they're drastically overestimating like the burden on our grandchildren from the national debt, you know, which is just ironic because right in the film, we finally see that the national debt is literally just our grandchildren's financial wealth, maybe not real wealth, but it is the record of their financial wealth, whereas climate is quite clearly a very real burden on our grandchildren. And so, you know, there's really, you know, Steve Keen is another great economist who's not in the film, but he's done great work exposing, you know, mainstream economists' analysis of climate change, because there's one paper he wrote called The Appallingly Bad Neoclassical Economics of Climate Change. And the way they estimate, you know, the effects of climate is just unbelievably bad, actually. You know, they're saying, oh, it'll be just as different as how it is going from, you know, going from the north to the south. You'll lose that much GDP. They're not at all taking into account the ecological effects of climate change. And so I think somehow they're not taking it seriously. And we're, you know, it will affect our economy. And unfortunately, you know, it will be a big driver of inflation as well. And so economists really need to start wrapping their minds around that.
So from the very beginning of the film, where we see the breakdown and what money is and how it works, how it worked back in ancient times and Mesopotamia and moving forward, and is the way in which that particular thing where Stephanie steps up and says, you see debt and I see wealth. Right. And that is fundamentally, I think that's, it's fair to say, fundamentally, that's where things part company, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, you know, that's the different story of money, is that money has two sides. You know, it's actually an asset and a liability. And so don't forget, you know, with balance sheet accounting, there's always two sides to every balance sheet, and they need to balance. You know, there's just kind of this image that works as this, what they call the sectoral balance graph. And it is this mirror image showing the government's debt or deficit is the non-government sector's financial wealth or savings or surplus. And that goes for any currency issuer, any, you know, issuer of any financial instrument. But that's kind of what defines a financial instrument, is that it has two sides, a debt and a credit, an asset and a liability. And so that is, that's really kind of where the money story, if you're thinking of money as an object itself, as a commodity, really that kind of evolved out of barter, right, which is kind of the textbook story, you miss this concept of money having two sides and having an issuer who is, you know, maybe a powerful political authority or what have you, and looking at historically how money has actually evolved. And that's what's so interesting and important is, you know, bringing in other professions or other disciplines into this story, anthropology, history, sociology, you know, they all have a lot to say about money, even though money has been mostly relegated to economists who haven't taken the time to do the historical analysis to see, you know, it may be the case that somewhere a barter market existed, but no historian has been able to, you know, or anthropologist has been able to find an example of kind of the existence of a barter market, and from that system, the evolution of money. So, you know, we see money evolving in different ways, but the story that's told in the textbooks, we just can't find, I think, the real world evidence for it. And maybe it's out there, but
that is such an important point that you just made about no one being able to find a barter system in the recorded history of civilization. There are so many things to recommend about this documentary film, Finding the Money. But for me, what I thought was a real strength of the film was that the information is conveyed in such a way as to be somewhat playful, at least have a sense of humor about it in order to make the point. This is serious stuff. It's serious information. It's something we should take seriously. But I thought it was a playful tone in the way that you convey this information. And that's important because for a lot of people, this is new and it's something that needs to be understood. Which brings me to the University of Missouri, Kansas City, where there is a cadre of economists and professors who are invested, if you will, in modern money theory, or MMT. And this is where Stephanie Kelton has planted her flag, and her, along with others, are implementing a curriculum around this and making it part of a serious attempt to change the perception of money. I love the part where Stephanie is describing this different stages of resistance to MMT. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Right. Yeah. And that's really kind of when I knew it was a film or a story, was, you know, when I kind of found that this group and these characters who are so interesting in and of their own rights, but they're really just kind of this underdog story, right? This classic story arc of going through these stages of first being ignored to then they're ridiculed and then they're fought and then maybe they're going to win. But, you know, I think that is still up for debate. And so maybe they're still in the fight you stage, what have you, but they're happy at least to maybe be out of the ignored phase. That's what I find, you know, just compelling, and what I was trying to use as a story to really kind of hang the rest of the, you know, heady ideas on. And you're able to hopefully connect with these characters and follow them through their daily lives and kind of understand where they're coming from and what they're trying to do and maybe why. And I think that's just, you know, that's just what drew me in and made me realize, you know, this really should be told as a film, because it is, it has that story, it has that story arc, and it has so much drama and compelling ramifications for what they're saying. And of course, the conflict, you know, the conflict and the controversy is so key, because that's kind of at the core of every good story too, is conflict.
And yes, you're right. Conflict does create very interesting stories, and this is no exception. The film is called Finding the Money, and we're talking with the director, Maren Poitras. And speaking of conflict, as I mentioned earlier, the kind of playful tone that the film takes in describing MMT, modern money theory, and we see in the film a number of people that we have seen on various platforms, news programs, financial programs, and we watch them struggle with some very basic economic concepts. They have a hard time explaining them. What was your reaction?
Exactly. And I think that's what's so illuminating. And that's what was so illuminating for me, because like I said, I was trying to set out to understand, you know, where do these MMT economists go wrong, and trying to parse out the core of the difference there. And I think that's what's so illuminating about those interviews and where they go, because it goes to the core of, right, what is money, and have they asked themselves, or have they been asked those basic questions? Simply, what is money? Where does it come from? Specifically, you know, can you hold this contradictory idea in your mind that the question, you know, if the federal government is the issuer of the US dollar, then why would it ever need to borrow US dollars in the first place? You know, what is this thing we call the national debt? And is it a burden on our grandchildren? So those kinds of simple questions you can't be afraid to ask. And, you know, maybe some of us have asked those questions to ourselves every time we hear about the national debt on the news almost every day, or, you know, the debt ceiling, or this, you know, every time we have a presidential debate, people are asked, you know, how are you going to pay for it? What about the national debt? So we wonder these things, and we've heard about terrible consequences of the national debt for decades, right? And yet we haven't quite seen the kind of doomsday outcomes that we were told were about to happen. And so I think a lot of us have deep down asked these simple questions and maybe been afraid to ask them because maybe they seem too simple, and there must be more complicated answers out there.
I love the way the film is executed. But these are the kinds of questions that are so rarely asked, even more infrequently answered. And the emperor has no money.
And that has been my takeaway from this film, based on the reaction from economists who should be able to answer these questions without hesitation. I'd like to know, of the screenings you've had with economists, either in the film or not in the film, what has been the reaction to Finding the Money?
Yeah, we've just been having, you know, we've just done some film festivals, but we have our big nationwide release coming up on May 3rd. So that's when it will be available nationwide on demand. So wherever you rent movies, as well as we're doing more theatrical screenings with Q&As with some interesting panels. So we'll be in New York City, May 3rd to the 9th at the Quad Theater. And then we'll be in DC on May 9th. And then we'll be in LA on May 14th to the 16th. So you should come out and see us, because I do recommend actually seeing the film with an audience. It's actually a fun one, maybe for some of the scenes you were mentioning about. It is actually fun to watch with an audience. Come out, and then you can actually engage and ask more questions, you know, to the panel afterwards, because of course this film is going to bring up maybe more questions than answers. Not everyone has seen the film yet, and so I think right around this time, around May 3rd, everyone who wants to will have a chance to see the film in DC or New York or at home on their TV.
In these last moments that I have with you, I want to once again tout the entertaining, informative, illuminating manner in which Finding the Money is able to address some extremely important concepts and ideas. And while most people don't normally think of economics as an entertaining opportunity, it is here. It's done in such a way that we understand the basic concepts, we understand the people who are trying to make a particular point about what money is and how it matters to us. And these are things that need to be done in such a way that we can all understand it, all have a better idea of how we can move forward to meet these immense challenges that we're facing, things that have to be addressed, and to be able to understand that in a way that makes us a more informed society is of tremendous value. So I want to thank you so much for your work. Thank you to all the people who are part of this discussion that will make us better as a society and as human beings. And I want to thank you so much for your work, Maren Poitras, for the film Finding the Money.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.